Magic bitches can do bait. Vanilla fudge and wedding cake. If you should die before you wake, you got any last requests to make?
Welcome to the Sunday, December 4th, 2016 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Sisters and brothers, the power guys are fully absorbed right now as we are waking up all over the world. The very riskiness of power's moves right now reveal its desperation. They are absorbed with maneuvering, with monitoring, policing, inventing, and furiously spinning the story by which they bend our thoughts to cleave to their story of rule, class, power. The fairy tale that the path they hack, using us as the tool to accomplish everything they do, leads to order and prosperity, usually with the qualifier relative attached to the head of both, to give them a polemical out, given shifting political exigencies. That it, this illusion that, or fantasy that, or fairy tale, for us, they don't believe it, they know better, that order and prosperity will be for everyone, not just them, while the concrete crumbles and dissension is sown all over. States of every totalitarian hue of obsession are desperately trying to hold our attention, cleave our will to theirs, to finesse our consent, quote unquote, to be governed by them. This moment is called, in the academic tongue, the crisis for power of the state's delegitimization. When de Tocqueville wrote this, quote, next to its habits, the thing which a nation is least apt to change is its civil legislation. Civil laws are only familiarly known to legal men, whose direct interest it is to maintain them as they are, whether good or bad, simply because they themselves are conversant with them. The body of the nation is scarcely acquainted with them. It merely perceives their action in particular cases, but it has some difficulty in seizing their tendency and obeys them without premeditation. And that's from Alexis de Tocqueville, Democracy in America, Volume 1. When he wrote this, he was describing an anesthetized populace, passively imbibing whatever pap they put in our mouths, sucking on whatever nipple they tell us will lead to milk. This somnambulant state also goes by the name obedience, or quote-unquote consent of the governed. And while we sleepwalk through life, he is, of course, right. But to walk in a deep fog runs against our nature as vital living things. So eventually, over time, this state begins to weaken and break down. This is what the global statesmen mean when they talk about the fragility of quote-unquote democracy, arguing that democracy is at risk if the people don't step up to defend it. Quote from an article on this very subject, their conclusion, says the author, is that democracies are not as secure as people may think. Right now, Mr. Harvard lecturer Munk said in an interview, the warning signs are flashing red. Political scientists have a theory called democratic consolidation, which holds that once countries develop democratic institutions, a robust civil society, and a certain level of wealth, their democracy is secure. And I comment here, i.e., the state, whatever its justifying political ideology, will be secure so long as it has the means to keep everyone sheltered, clothed, and fed, or enough, I should say, enough people sheltered, clothed, and fed through jobs, and too busy through jobs and survival issues overall to develop their thought process beyond the limits imposed by the state to ensure its preservation, i.e. power's existence. The issue of system legitimization, or its flip side force, is where the market, or economics, and the state, politics, intersect, reveal their identity in the goal, keep the people corralled, stuck, unable to join hands, to join hands across all the boxes created for us. That is to say, if one arm of power can't accomplish it, the other is relied upon. But the terms of the modern bureaucratic political arrangement that power has established for itself require that the operation appear to be dispassionate laws working themselves out. This is why Marx was no threat to them. And they allow, for instance, someone like myself to attend a quote-unquote Marxist sociology program. Once we have the accurate picture of power's game, an accurate understanding of class, we understand what is a threat and what isn't. Okay, so where did we leave off? It must appear, that is to say, power must stay hidden. The modern political arrangement power has established for itself requires that the operation appear to be dispassionate laws working themselves out, a clockwork mechanism, i.e. power must stay hidden, and we must appear to be the ones who put chains on ourselves. This is called the law. This becomes all the more critical as the resource stores of the planet shrink and states or their surrogates in the economy scramble to secure as much of the remainder as possible. To them, it's a game. To us, a purgatory that they want us to believe has no solution and so is endless. It so dispirits us, this mad scramble that sets us against each other and ourselves. I thought of this reading an article titled Chinese Traders and Their Wealth Deepen Animosity in a Burmese Hub. This was in the November 28, 2016, New York Times. And scrambling because of this manufactured scarcity they impose on us forestalls our discussion of how it will be that the wealth we are here to make, once we've dissolved our chains, that we are kept from making because a tiny few want to rule over us, will dwarf in content, love, scope, quantity, quality, and significance the pathetic shreds of flesh our grandmother Earth has left. A similar, if even more apt, image might be that given us by Shel Silverstein in his book The Giving Tree, in which the tree never complains as the adult strips her down to nothing.